It comes from the book of Amos. Amos was a minor prophet. I wonder if they liked it. I'm just a minor prophet. He was a minor prophet, not a major prophet. Poor guy. But he has some wonderful things to say. Amos is a very short book. Probably got the... And you can see it's about two-thirds through. And when I read this text, I could not help but think of what we're studying in primary. And this week of all weeks, it was on the 10 plagues in Egypt. And God told Moses, who told Pharaoh every single time before a plague was going to happen. Well, this is going to, tomorrow, he'd tell him the time, tell him what was going to happen. And if he didn't let God's people go, and Pharaoh just, you know, well, I don't believe. Well, finally, Pharaoh did get the point. But God lets us know in advance what to expect, when to expect. He gives us all kinds of warnings and wants us to trust him and says, be ready, be ready. Satan never does that. You realize that, right? He never says, you know what? 3 o'clock tomorrow, I've got this temptation for you. He never does that. He always is lying and deceiving. So I praise the Lord for a God who gives us information. So Amos 3, verse 7, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. What a gift. He doesn't have to, but what a gift. So we're going to pray. Feel free to kneel if you'd like, or sit. I'm going to stand. Just let's praise the Lord for all his gifts. Heavenly Father, first just thank you so much for Sabbath, such a gift every single week to come together to recognize you as our Savior, our God, our Redeemer, and this special, special time to be with you, to be with each other as our church family, to just be restful from the week, from all the cares, and just know how much you love us. Lord, we praise you for this church, for this faith, for all the information you've given the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Lord, how we should treasure that and share to the world. We love you and praise you for that. And today in this service, Lord, we lift up those who aren't here, anyone who perhaps isn't well or unable to be here or is traveling or at other churches that are gathered around the world. Just bless them, guide them, keep our minds on you, Lord. And we lift up our children and our grandchildren, and for those of us who have great-grandchildren, we lift up our families because we know we are part of your family, and you know how dear our family is to us and how dear we are to you. So take our families, take our church, take this service, Lord. And we pray for Robin today as he speaks, that you speak through him. And thank you so much for all that you have done for us, but especially for your word, because you've given us all the information we need to know you and love you, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wait for just a moment. There they go. Thank you, Josie, for scripture and prayer, and Chelsea for that beautiful song. We've been blessed already today. Went too far. This is too touchy. I'll have to be careful. The title of my sermon today is Believe His Prophets. And I want to make a disclaimer here. I first met Leslie Harding when I was a student at Pacific Union College in 1966. And I loved him as a teacher. I have a number of his sermons through the years on CDs at home, and a couple of months ago, I was listening to one of his series. It was three sermons back in 1993, and they were about the topic today, and I was so impressed by what he said, and I felt like I learned a lot, and I thought to myself, you know, this is something that I should share with you. So he took 3 hours. I'm going to try and do it in 30 minutes. This is the Reader's Digest version of what he said. And I hope that it is a blessing to each and every one of you. And before I start, I would like to offer a short prayer. Father God, I pray that you will use my words today to be a blessing to all those that hear this message. And I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to each heart and will open their hearts to receive this message. And I pray that thy will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to briefly talk about five Bible prophecies. You're probably familiar with them. I'm not going to go into detail about the prophecies. That's not the purpose of the talk today. My purpose is to talk about the prophets who came at the beginning and the end of each of these Bible prophecies, and how God used those prophets in these time prophecies. There will be five of them: the flood, the Exodus, the exile, the Messiah, and the 2300 days. Now, before I get started with those, I want to take and make a couple of establish a couple of facts about God. And the Bible tells us some things about God. Malachi 1:3-6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." It's important to realize that God never changes. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. So he doesn't change his mind, doesn't go a different way. Paul also tells us that Jesus, who is God, is the same yesterday and today and forever. James tells us that God also gives us every good gift. And some of those gifts are listed in Ephesians. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And out of this list, the gift we're going to look at today is prophecy. And we're going to see how God always has a prophet at the beginning and at the end of every time prophecy. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So God makes plain that He is the one who chooses who those prophets are and what they say. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak to him in a dream." God lets us know ahead of time, as our scripture reading says, "Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets." So the first one that we're going to look at for a moment is the flood. And Enoch was the prophet who told us, told the people at that time about the flood. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. Now, we're going to get to the time prophecy in a minute, but I want to take a moment and take a look at God and names. God does a lot of things in the Bible with names. For instance, he changed a lot of people's names. You know, Abram became Abraham, which means the father of many nations. Sarai became Sarah, meaning princess. Jacob became Israel, and that means he strives with God. This was one that I hadn't caught before. Solomon, he calls Jedediah, which means beloved of the Lord. And Simon, of course, Jesus renamed him Peter, meaning a stone. Now, those are names that people had that God changed, but God also has given people names. He told the parents of these people, this is what you are to name your son: Ishmael, Isaac, Josiah, John the Baptist, Jesus. And did you know that God is going to give you a name? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now, God sometimes uses people's names for prophetic purposes, and that's where I'm getting to with Methuselah here. God told the fathers of these children to name them as part of a prophecy. Isaiah's son, and you're going to help me with this, Mehir, Shalal, Hashbaz, something like that. It means quickly to plunder. And it was actually a prophecy that the Assyrians were going to come and attack Damascus and Samaria. And so God said, name your son this. And so his son's name was part of the prophecy, and every time his son's name was mentioned, reminded people of the prophecy. Josiah's first son was Jezreel, and that means God will sow. And that was a prophecy against the family of Jehu, who had been a wicked king, and what was going to happen to his family. His daughter, Lo Ruhamah, something like that. And that means not having obtained mercy. It was a prophecy against the house of Israel. They had been so wicked. Remember, the kingdom had split into two. You had the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah. The northern kingdom had virtually all wicked kings and so forth. The southern kingdom, a mixture. Anyway, it was a prophecy against the house of Israel. And Hosea's second son, Lo-Ami, means not my people. So God was giving a prophecy that he was going to reject Israel as his chosen people. So all of these names had a specific prophecy attached to them, and every time the name was said, the prophecy was remembered. And that brings us back to Enoch. The Bible doesn't tell us whether God specifically told him to name Methuselah what he did, but whether God told him to or not, the name that Enoch gave him was Methuselah, and it's part of a prophecy. His name means, when he dies, it shall be sent, or at his death, it will be sent. And it was a prophecy about the coming flood. Now, this prophecy was a little different than most. Most prophecies have a specific date where it's going to start and specific date when it's going to end. This prophecy is what they call an indeterminate time period, because nobody knew when Methuselah was going to die. You know, as long as he was alive, the flood wasn't going to come. But when he died, flood was going to come. So Enoch lived for 65 years. Methuselah was born. He lived 300 years after that. And during those 300 years, he told people, flood's coming. My son's named after it. Remember that. And then Enoch was taken to heaven. Methuselah lived another 669 years before he died. So he had the total of 969 years. So for nearly 1,000 years before the flood, God told the people, the flood is coming. Keep an eye on Methuselah. When he dies, it's going to happen. So Enoch had preached prophetic truth. And then his prophecy continued in his son's name. And then God chose Noah to preach the present truth about the coming of the flood. And he did that for 120 years. And this is the prophecy here. It says, "And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years." So Noah is telling them, in about 120 years, the flood's going to come. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So, in brief, God told Enoch about the coming flood. He preached the prophetic truth about the flood. He even named his son as a reminder of that. Hundreds of years later, God told Noah that the time for the fulfillment of Enoch's prophecy was soon to happen and how to prepare for it. Noah applied that prophecy and then preached it for 120 years. That was the present truth. The flood came the year that Methuselah died, as God, through Enoch, had foretold. So that's the first one. The second one is about the Exodus. And God chose Abram to be the father of a very special people. And he was also a prophet. "Now therefore, restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet." So Abraham is a prophet of God, and God told him what was going to happen to his descendants. "And he said unto Abram, know for a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them. And they shall afflict them for 400 years, and also that nation whom they serve will I judge. And afterward shall they come out with great substance." So God told Abram about his descendants dwelling in Egypt for all of those hundreds of years. At the end of that time period, he came to Moses and told him to preach the present truth, which was, it's time to get out of Egypt. So now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years, and it came to pass at the end of those 430 years, even the selfsame day, it came to pass that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. So again, in short, God told Abraham what was going to happen to his descendants. Abraham declared the prophetic truth. Hundreds of years later, God told Moses it was time to come out, and Moses applied that prophecy and preached present truth to the children of Israel, and God did. He brought them out of Egypt. The third one is a prophecy about the exile. Now, you know, we mentioned a minute ago the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. They split after Solomon. You had Rehoboam and Jeroboam. And the northern kingdom was gone by this time. They had been wicked, and God was unable to protect them because they were not following him. And so the Assyrians came in. They took them away, and they're called the 10 lost tribes because we don't know where they are. They just vanished. There's some people have ideas about that, but there's no proof. But they are gone. We don't have any of the people specifically from those 10 tribes. Now, the southern kingdom was Judah, and it was beginning to follow the same pattern that the northern kingdom had done. They were getting more and more wicked, and God could not protect them because of their wickedness as he would want to. But God was not going to allow them to be permanently removed from their land because he had a plan for them. So Jeremiah, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass when the 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolations. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good work toward you in causing you to return to this place. So when the 70 years had come to an end, God sent another prophet to tell the people it was time to go home. In fact, he sent three. Daniel 9:2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet. So Daniel had studied what Jeremiah had said, and he recognized that it was about time for the 70 years to be over, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And again, in our timeline, God told Jeremiah what was going to happen. Jeremiah preached the prophetic truth. Then the remaining children of Israel were taken to Babylon, and at the time came that it was going to happen, God raised up prophets, Daniel, Haggai, Zechariah, to preach the present truth that they were about to go home. So God's pattern has been the same. A prophet at the beginning of the time prophecy, and then a prophet at the end of the time prophecy. The first one preached prophetic truth. The second one preached present truth. God says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." The fourth prophecy regards the Messiah. And this is probably the most important of all of the prophecies because it revolves around our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Daniel was given the prophecy, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and the prophecy and to anoint the Most High. So God calls on Daniel to preach the prophetic truth about the coming Messiah. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. So God was going to come in person to this earth. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." God had John the Baptist announce the Messiah. He was a prophet, but also Jesus himself, and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So Jesus himself, in this case, preached the present truth about himself as the Messiah. So again, in brief, God told Daniel the prophetic truth about the Messiah. God had John the Baptist announce his coming. Jesus, God himself, preached the present truth that he was the Messiah who'd come to save all who would believe on him. The last prophecy is about the 2300 days. Now, Daniel was chosen also to give this prophetic truth about this longest time period in Bible prophecy. "Then I heard one saint speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, How long shall the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden under foot? And he said unto me, Unto 2300 days, and then shall the sanctuary be cleansed." So Daniel was giving the prophetic truth. Now, God's pattern has been the same through all of these. He always begins with a prophet telling that there's going to be this time period and what was going to happen. And at the end, there's always a prophet who comes up and says, the time has come. This is the end. The first one preached the prophetic truth. The second one preached the present truth. The 2300 days is a problem, because the Bible was finished long before the 2300 days came to an end. So, we have a problem. We don't find the second prophet for this time prophecy in the Bible. And so, what are we going to do? Did God change his pattern on that last prophecy? I don't think so. Because God says, for I am the Lord, I change not. So, with Enoch and Noah, we have a pair, beginning and an end. With Abraham and Moses, with Jeremiah and Daniel, with Daniel and Jesus. And now we've got Daniel and who? Well, there are a few possibilities. Since it was in the middle of the 1800s, we have to look at who was there who might have been a prophet. Ann Lee has been suggested as a possibility. She was in the late 1700s, and she was the founder of the Shakers. Joanna Southcott in the early 1800s claimed to be a prophet. Joseph Smith claimed to be a prophet, and of course he started the Mormon Church. Mary Baker Eddy with Christian Science, that was the mid-1800s to the early 1900s. And then Ellen White, Seventh-day Adventist, from the mid-1800s to the early 1900s. Now the question is, did any of these prophets make Daniel's 2300-day prophecy present truth? You can look through the writings of Ann Lee and Joanne Southcott, Joseph Smith, Mary Baker Eddy, and you will find that none of those did. There was one who did, Ellen White. And this is one comment that she made. There are many precious truths contained in the Word of God, but it is present truth that the flock needs now. Such subjects as the sanctuary in connection with the 2300 days, the commandments of God, the faith of Jesus. She's the only one who preached present truth about the 2300 days. Now, first and foremost, I believe we need to read and study our Bibles. I believe that with all my heart. Really, that's all you need. The Bible. But God sometimes gives us other things. And I believe that God doesn't change. I believe that she was the second prophet, the one that was at the end of the 2300 days. And I believe that he chose her to do that. And I think that he inspired her to write some things. And I think it would be good for all of us to read what God has given to her to tell to us. It doesn't take the place of the Bible. I want to make that perfectly plain. It does not take place of the Bible, but it's extra information, some of which is very valuable to us today in our day and age, and I think that it's good for all of us if we spend some time reading her writings as well as the Bible. Now, I'd like to close turning our attention to the one who's most important, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And one day very soon, I expect to see him coming in the clouds of heaven. And if I'm not alive, he'll raise me from the dead to watch it. And I pray that each one of us here today will be ready when Jesus comes and recognize that he's given us so much. He's given us so much. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again that we can worship freely, that we can join together with fellow believers, and we can spend some time with your word. And Lord, we thank you for the prophecies and the prophets in the Bible that gives us confirmation that you know the end from the beginning. You know where all of this is going, and you always let us know ahead of time the important things that are going to happen. And now I pray that as we go from here, we will be a blessing to our families, to our friends and neighbors, to all we meet through this coming week. Come soon, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.